From the Xfinity Studios at WVON. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Curry on WVON AM 1690.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year. This is, of course, America's Heroes Group, the Talk of Chicago, and America's Heroes Group Roundtable. We are globally connected with partner family care giver Keisha Jackson, and we are so happy to have her with us. Of course, I am Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And we are so pleased to mention the fact that January is Cervical Health Awareness and National Blood Donor Month. Keep that in mind and act accordingly, okay? Again, we are so pleased to have Keisha with us, Keisha Jackson, Air Force veteran and family caregiver for her family. Let me just say a few things. Keisha's Jackson is a retired Air Force veteran. After 22 years of honorable service, she signed to become an inspirational writer for an online women's magazine. Shortly thereafter, her mother was diagnosed with stage 4 inoperable lung cancer. At that time, Keisha resigned to become her primary caregiver. 6 months after her mother passed, one of her brothers fell, causing internal bleeding with broken ribs. After becoming his primary caregiver, Keisha started networking and learning about caregiving resources available. Keisha hopes to partner with online and in-person caregiver communities to help encourage, educate, and empower each other. Keisha, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being with us.
Such a pleasure to be a part of this.
I appreciate that, and again, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
You're an Air Force veteran. Tell us a little bit about your service before we get into the family care situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Enlisted. After basic training, I started out in the personnel career field. With that, I got stationed in California. I wanted to get out, but I decided to reenlist. Reenlisted, I switched over into the computer career field, stayed there, went to another base, went to Texas, was going to be there for a while, was supposed to go overseas. I got hurt playing basketball, ripped my Achilles tendon, and then in San Antonio, I developed a mild form of reactive airway disease, so it was a mild form of asthma, so that limited me on my military assignments and mobility as well.
Okay.
Stated.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Continue, please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After that assignment, I stayed there for a while. Then I came to the D.C. area, was assigned to the Pentagon, still doing working in the computer career field, and just got into a special duty assignment. It was a control tour assignment. I fell in love with that, the job, and just stayed in D.C. working there at the Pentagon, and decided to retire in this area.
So that sounds like you certainly made a career of it in the Air Force. Keisha, how long were you working at the Pentagon?
I was stationed at the Pentagon before I retired. It's about 7 years.
About 7 years. So your total time in the Air Force was how long?
22 years.
22, okay. 22 years.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. That's wonderful. And you obviously made good of that. That's great. So now, retired Air Force veteran, tell us, after 22 years of honorable service, she signed to become an inspirational writer for an online women's magazine. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's literally how it happened. I retired and I met someone, and we talked a little bit, and it was a magazine that they had, and I had said that I always enjoyed writing, and even when I was in the military, I wound up doing a lot of writing for the enlisted people. And so we talked a little bit, and she mentioned that they had an online magazine and asked me was I interested and asked me to submit something. I submitted it. She read it. The president read it. They really enjoyed it and wanted to know if I could start writing for the magazine.
So how long did you do that, Keisha?
I didn't get a chance to do it but a few months, because that was right around the time when I found out that my mother had cancer.
Yeah. You found out she had stage 4 inoperable lung cancer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what you did, you resigned to become your mom's primary caregiver. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell us about that experience.
Well, one of my brothers, my mother was in Philly at the time. I was still in the D.C. area. When one of my brothers gave me a call, called me and told me that my mom was in the hospital. And when I got there, I didn't know before that she had cancer. We didn't know at all. But when I went in there, the doctor told me that my mom had stage 4 inoperable lung cancer that had metastasized into her ribs. And so I was completely caught off guard, and I asked the doctor, what could we expect? And he said, well, at this point, maybe just life support. And so I just couldn't receive that. And after the doctor left out, I asked my mother, I said, well, what do you want? And she said, basically what my mother said is, I want to fight. And since my mother said that she wanted to fight, I said, if you want to fight, I'm going to fight with you. And not just fight with you, I'm going to fight for you.
That's something. So then you actually became your mom's caregiver.
I became a primary caregiver. My two brothers, and I have a really large family, but primarily, yes, I was her primary as the daughter, the only girl. My two brothers, we said we were just going to take care of it, make it happen, taking care of our mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now tell us how that happens, because that goes through the military also, right?
Yes, but
yeah,
so for me...
military. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't spend a lot of it with the military, because my mother, although my father was military, my mother was not a dependent of the military at that time. So I didn't get the military too much involved. It was the involvement with me and taking off work and different things like that. So what I would do is I would go back and forth from Virginia to Philadelphia to take care of my mom, take her on her different doctor's appointments, try to find ways to help my mother. One of the things that happened when I left Philly and I came back to Virginia, I wound up going to Texas for something. And while I was out there, I got a call from one of my brothers that my mom had been put out of the hospital because she didn't have the proper insurance. Mm. And so with that made it even that much more difficult. My mother, to make sure that things were in place to help take care of my mother. So I would drive back and forth to Philly. I would pretty much go every weekend or every other weekend, and some of it depends on my job. And I mean, there was a lot of things. I was very active in my church, and I might have even been going to school at the time. I can't remember, but I was volunteering. I was a part of missionary, doing foreign mission at the time. I was scheduled to go on a mission trip to Spain at the time. And so there was a lot going on, so I was doing a lot of juggling. And I had a dog at the time, too, who was diabetic, so I was taking care of my dog as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a great thing that you had all this military training, Keisha, because you had the ability to really do what you needed to do, that's for sure. I just think that's true.
What I've described it to people is, when you're walking down the street, to me being a caregiver or my experience, walking down the street, it was like I fell into this thing hole. And I didn't see it, and I just fell in it. And then when I fell in it, I got out, and I wound up having to just do everything. And if I can, I want to read an email. I was looking through something, and I found this email that I had written. And this was one of the emails that I had written to the person in charge of the online women's magazine that I was going to be writing for. And it was kind of right when I was getting into that place where I wasn't going to be able to write. And so this is what I emailed. It says, as before, please forgive me for the continuous delayed responses. I have been on an extreme whirlwind tour. In the last 2.5 weeks, my mom has been admitted in the hospital, gone through emergency twice, had CAT scans and MRI and multiple doctor's appointments. Nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists are coming to the house. She has been extremely over-medicated to the point where I had to watch her almost 24 hours a day. I have been coordinating getting her medical records transferred from Philly, clothing, feeding her, and now giving her pain medicine every hour on the hour, 24 hours a day, while trying to work and take care of my diabetic dog. I'm getting about 2.5 hours of sleep each night. Somehow God continues to sustain me. So this is extremely exhausting. For the first time in months, my mother can go for hours without experiencing pain. She even said she hopes to get to the place where she can volunteer at the hospital.
That is great. And you are the one who has enabled her to do that. You know, you said she was put out of the hospital. What was that?
Yes. My mother didn't. They said she didn't have the proper insurance. So when they put her out, and they gave her Motrin, and that's all that they gave her. And at that time, she was not signed up for any type of chemotherapy or anything.
And you being a veteran, that didn't have any impact on that whatsoever?
Well, for me, in terms of the care and trying to take care of her, did. But in terms of me involving the military or a veteran in this, I didn't ask them. Okay. You know, maybe hindsight, maybe there could have been, but
that's what I was thinking.
I had not put her down as my dependent at that time.
Okay.
I didn't get the military involved.
Yeah, okay. If you had done that, it might, mm-hmm. yeah, we don't know. It might have made a difference. It may not have.
Right.
I have to ask about this because I am a dog lover. Tell me about your dog.
My dog, her name was Mahogany. Mahogany, Australian Terrier. And she developed diabetes. And
wow.
So I wound up,
Yeah.
Did you? Mm-hmm. And so I, while I was caring for my mom, mm-hmm. I was responsible for giving my dog a shot every 12 hours.
Boy, you really were taking care of everybody. That's great. That's the thing to do, though, Keisha.
Yeah, that's, and yep. Like you mentioned, even in the military, I mean, we're trained to fight. We're trained to be ready. We're trained even to respond.
Mm-hmm. No, you're totally correct.
Yeah.
We are so pleased to have this wonderful lady, Keisha Jackson, Air Force veteran and family caregiver for her family, 22 years in the Air Force and taking care of her mom and the dog and just whatever she had to do. We're going to take a caller. The WVON call-in number is 312-374-8130, and let's go to Brother Hall. Brother Hall, hi. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Governor. Listen, first of all, before I had reservations about talking about it, but I'm going to mention it because I think you know this institution of a woman that's been in a pillar of our community for a long time. But let me just, first of all, thank you for the show. You know, this is probably the best show, seriously, Cliff, that we have and our institution in terms of WVON. And the reason why is because of the outreach, your producers, and different ones who reaches out to make sure that this show have a wealth of information for the folk who have served. And let me thank the one you have next to you. I don't know if she's in the studio or whatever, but thank you so much for serving and making it possible for guys like me that never served. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great comment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me also say, Cliff, mm-hmm. I got a bit of sad news. Do you remember Lady D on 43rd to have the oldie but goodies?
I sure do, certainly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Lady D is now on the street along with her daughter, Queen's sister. Well, you know we know her.
Sure.
And Arnold, the brother, is a veteran. And, oh, my God, man. And two of both of the mother and the son have dementia.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I thought maybe I'd call and put this out there and see if there's any kind of connections or someone could, if I could leave. I've left my number with the producer.
Okay.
Hopefully she'll get back with me.
Okay.
And I'll put her in contact with them because, you know, after all, you know, most of us are one step from the street. And then mm-hmm. when we'll order Vidoc, the way this thing is going in this city,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's see, can we reach out and assist them and help them if we can. And so I thought I'd call to let you know that bad news, but I certainly wanted to give you kudos for the new show, and thank you, and keep it up, Cliff.
Appreciate it. And thank you so much, Brother Hall. We'll take that number, okay? Appreciate you. I'm glad he's thinking about it. Let's take another caller. Our number again, 312-374-8130. We are talking, of course, to our wonderful guest, Keisha Jackson, Air Force veteran and family caregiver for her family, 22 years in the service. Let's go to Lieutenant Colonel Jeffries. Hey.
Hey, Cliff. Hey. Happy 2020.
Okay, how are you? Good.
And I want to thank Keisha for bringing this out because had she placed her mother as a dependent, then a mother would have gotten care through the military as well. And just like the last call, I think that was Brother Hall, right?
Yes, correct. Brother Hall.
Mm-hmm. Stated, this mm-hmm. is a very important radio piece. WVON is always in the forefront, and I want to really thank you, Cliff, for starting this up and continue throughout this year, because I feel like we're definitely in a place where we're going to need all the information that we can with what is going on with Iran. And that's why, too, one of my things for my students this year, I'm going to insist that they get registered to vote. They're going to mm-hmm. have to help somebody of their choosing mm-hmm. to help them get into office. If it's nothing but get some petitions, get those petitions
Good.
Out.
Good.
Yes, and interview mm-hmm. their family members to ensure that they're registered
right.
to vote. Because as we see throughout the country, people are getting purged off these roles,
right.
and they need to find out. So I know I'm a little off topic, but I want to thank her. And one other thing that's very important, when you have siblings, everybody has to be involved. And that appears that Keisha did have that
yeah.
involvement
right.
with her brothers, mm-hmm. and I think that is so important. Thank you, and you all have a wonderful new year.
And thank you so much, Colonel. Did you hear, Keisha, if you had said that your mom was a dependent, she wouldn't have been put out of the hospital. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do understand a lot of the programs that
right.
the veterans offer that,
mm-hmm.
That they have for us as vets in military and even for our dependents.
Right.
But it really worked out that it was a blessing because the mm-hmm. system down here in the area where I'm at, the county, they provided phenomenal
mm-hmm.
support and service. So I can't complain at all. And that
you.
Could be some of the reason why I wasn't as aggressive as trying to
trying
do some
to,
things
right.
in terms of put their down as a dependent, although I did get power of attorney and other things.
Good. Let me get one more call in. Kojo, hi. You're
hey,
a WVO.
Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm fine, sir. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This is mm-hmm. Kojo, you know, the old Buffalo soldier. It's been a long time since I called in, but I said, let me call you and wish you the best for 2020.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'll be listening to you. But it seems like by the time you come on, my radio start fading out. So I got you today on my computer.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I want to offer my, you know, I guess condolence would be the wrong word, you know, to your guests today.
Mm-hmm.
who's going through her ordeal and as a veteran and all that. You know, I'm a veteran myself, as you know, a career war veteran. And anyway, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to wish you the best.
Well, you
know,
and you too.
Yeah, you know, I'm online all the time. Now I'm doing my memoirs and stuff like that,
We'll be looking forward to that. And
okay.
Tell everybody what oh, we lost him, I guess. Are you there? I just wanted you to say what service you were with, Gojo. Some don't know. I guess we did lose him. I'm not sure. I think he was Army. I'm not sure. But this is extremely important, and I'm glad, Keisha, that you are really making sure that everything is all right. And America's Heroes Group Roundtable, we are globally connected with partner family care giver Keisha Jackson, and she is just fantastic. Keisha, we got a minute left. Want to give us a quickie?
I just want to say, again, like you said, thank you. I'm so glad to be a part of this, and I look forward to being able to share resources and bringing people on to talk about the importance of caregivers so that everyone will know.
Well, you're doing a great job. Just continue to do that, and we'll make sure that we keep all your good service in mind, because there's so many people that need this help, and we're just so pleased that you were with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you too. Keisha Jackson, Air Force veteran and family caregiver for her family. She really has done a great job. 22 years in the Air Force, worked at the Pentagon, did all kinds of things. And we'll hear a lot more of her, I'm sure. I'm Cliff Kelly. Stay with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the American Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and Happy New Year to all of you on this wonderful day that is Saturday, January 4th. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you. This is, as you know, America's Heroes Group. Heroes Group, what we do is... This radio talk show has transcended race, creed, and color throughout engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming veterans, armed forces, and their family members by being the synergistic hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. And, of course, as you know, I'm Cliff Kelly, and we have our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And we are pleased now to have the America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner University of Chicago Office of Civic Engagement. And we're so pleased to have them here, panelists in the studio, back with us. Ryan K. Priester, Director of Community Programs. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Cliff. How about yourself?
Good to see you again.
You too. Thank you.
Great. Happy New Year.
You too.
Absolutely. The programs accelerated the University of Chicago Office of Civic Engagement. That's its entire title, I should say. I want to do that. Felicia Dawson is with us.
Good afternoon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Great. Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Communities Preservation of Affordable Housing. That's really what POA, do people call it?
POA.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, POA.
They call it POA.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that really stands for the preservation of affordable housing, right?
That's correct.
POA.
You got it.
Hey,
you got
okay.
It. That is it.
All right. That's great. So who wants to start off? You folks have got so much going on.
Sure. I'm happy to start off. So as part of our commitment to help support affordable and stable housing on Chicago's South Side, the Community Programs Accelerator at the University of Chicago has worked with a number of housing partners, including Featherfist, who we've brought on the show, Chicago Hyde Park Village, which helps to seniors aging in place on the South Side, and Woodlawn East Community and Neighbors. And I'm very pleased today to have Ms. Felicia Dawson, who's been a technical advisor for us and a number of our organizations, to talk about the work that POA is doing in the Woodlawn and Washington Park communities, helping to preserve affordable housing and to create new pathways for families within those communities. So I thought, Felicia, maybe if you could share some of the work that POA has done, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you so much. So POA is a Boston-based development company who came into Chicago over 10 years ago because the residents of what was called Grove Park Plaza Apartments, 60th to 63rd on Cottage Grove, if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. The HUD was going to tear them down, so the residents asked us to come in and revitalize and do something different. So we did. We've been here for 10 years, and we've done a heap of things for community around housing, but also managing the property. We have about 12,000 units around the country. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We own what we manage, and we manage what we own. So that means that we're kind of embedded in the neighborhoods that we work well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So that makes us a little bit different than typical developers. And then we have this third arm that does this work that tries to promote and encourage the unit that we have and we manage, that it's an asset for not only us, but for the resident that lives in it. So we've got an entire community impact department that does a lot of the work that communities need, GED, workforce development. We've created a financial opportunity center there in Woodlawn. We've since 2012, we've got about 800 people into jobs. We work to create and get people into the new Jewels there on 61st and Cottage Grove. That was huge for us because we really did work to try to get people trained in anticipation of that, because Grove Park housing was once there. And then we do a lot of basic budgeting. If we're going to promote people doing something different, for us, we want people to see this as an opportunity to not only access affordable housing, but then access that next step in their lives. So if they want to do something different, if they want to move on, buy a house, and you can do that. If you pay $2 a month for rent, or if you paid $1,600, whatever that is, we try to create an environment that has all of these amenities, we call it, so that people can grow and kind of aspire to do some different things. And that's not typically what developers do. So we're
certainly
excited.
Isn't. That's great.
We're excited.
Yeah,
we're excited.
Paul is doing a lot of good work, that's for sure. So if, in fact, Felicia, you are living in one of the – but you even mentioned that if you want to buy a house, you have ways of advising people on how to do that?
We do. We had a unique opportunity to provide a home ownership program we call Renew Woodlawn, where we worked in partnership with Neighborhood Housing Services, Community Investment Corporation. We would identify properties that were in the neighborhood, acquire them through CIC, and then match a buyer with a contractor through in Neighborhood Housing Services. And then we put up about $75,000 per house for people to maybe write down the gap in appraisal or just a down payment, because we wanted to encourage home ownership. We believe that there is a balance that you need to have for a neighborhood to grow. So while we do affordable housing, we also do commercial retail, but we knew that you have to have some home ownership. So Neighborhood Housing Services have a space in our building, in our resource center that's at 6144 South Cottage Grove. And people came and really took the classes there, and we really worked to get people into home ownership. Our goal was 20 houses to sell. We sold 43.
Oh, that's great.
So and that's all partnerships. That's all partnerships.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Right. We're excited.
Well, you should be. The people in the area should be even more excited. That it's just great that this sort of thing is going on. Ryan, what else do we need to know?
Well, one of the things that I think is important to highlight about the work of POA is that they work with a number of community vendors like Featherfist. They also have spurred a lot of growth in both the Woodlawn and Washington Park communities. I was wondering, Felicia, if you could talk a little bit about some of the minority-owned businesses like UPS and others that you've been able to attract.
So if you're familiar with 63rd and Cottage Grove, Daly's restaurant used to be on one side of the street. We acquired both sides of the street, and they're in our new building that we have 15,000 square feet of commercial there. We've got so excited. Another local Woodlawn resident, young lady born and raised in Woodlawn, she has a dog grooming business, and it's called Wagon Swag. She will have her business there. Rex and the UPS store that is there, they've opened their building, and we are hoping people utilize that UPS service right there, two doors down from Daly's, the new Daly's. And then we have a yoga studio, a lady that also lives in Woodlawn who came back to the community and invested and has started her own yoga studio, and she works with a variety of different providers that come in and do acupuncture and a variety of different things right there on 63rd and Cottage Grove. We really did try to do a couple of things, Ryan. We really wanted to focus on minority ownership, and we did want to focus on folks that were from the neighborhood. We took an inordinate amount of time to ask people what they wanted. What did they want to see in the community around commercial?
Great.
And these were some of the things that we heard. So it was a little bit of a cost, and it took us a little bit of time, but we waited and was steadfast in trying to get those business
Felicia,
spaces.
Who asked for acupuncture?
They asked for yoga.
Okay,
the acupuncture was just an added benefit. It's an added benefit, but they asked for yoga. They did.
The reason Ryan's laughing, I have had acupuncture, But the only reason I did it, I was in China. I was in China, and I was at this place, and I was closer. The patient was closer to me than you are now.
Wow.
And they were sticking these needles in his face, and he didn't even blink or anything. So I knew that there's got to be something to this.
Right.
Years later, I had a problem that, and somebody suggested hospital that that I go through acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I'm not into pain, you know. Not that hurt me, beat me, make me write bad checks. I'm not into that's not, you know.
That's funny.
So I think that's the only reason, because I had seen it, you know, and it's fine. It's wonderful.
It really does help, I've heard.
It does.
They do offer it mm-hmm. as needed when people request it, but they offer a myriad of other things, and they're very affordable.
Sure.
So it's good. You wouldn't necessarily find that on 63rd and Cottage Grove. Not. So,
the other thing I've got to mention also, Felicia, that you said, I've been around a while. You know, I've been around, just a long time, you mm-hmm. know. Daly's has been there as long as I can remember. How long has Daly's been open? I think it's great that they went across the street.
They've been open. They've been there for 100. They've been in the community for 100 years.
I thought so.
They've been over 100 mm-hmm. years. They've had a presence there.
And
Daly's, really, we worked with them because they've doubled their space.
Mm-hmm.
And people love it. But we didn't want to lose that kind of.
Exactly.
It's a destination.
They've always had a good
all
business.
Over. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they love. We're finding that community loves the space.
Yeah.
And loves
mm-hmm.
the new. It's busy. It's mm-hmm. never where you can get a seat mm-hmm. quickly. They mm-hmm. are very busy. Yeah. So we're excited.
Which is great. Yes. Which is great. Yeah, I'm glad that they stayed. What's happening with the? What would that be? The southeast corner.
So the south.
Explain that
corner.
So people.
Southeast.
Used to be Walgreens, used to be a lot of crazy things.
So it's the old bank building?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah.
the southwest. So Daly's was on the southeast. Daly's
oh, you're right. I'm sorry. That was my fault. I'm sorry.
So Daly's was on the southeast.
Yeah.
Let me just give you a little bit of a snapshot. So
so
the southeast corner where Daly's
was right.
where our plan, as we've worked with community, mm-hmm. Is to maybe redefine the Green Line, have the Green Line go into that building, and we'll have some other five, six stories of commercial with some commercial
good.
Activity on the first floor and then some other mm-hmm. retail opportunities
mm-hmm.
Going up, and along with that entrance to the Green Line. We really want to navigate so that people are not walking off. It's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different kind of entrance into the Green Line there, so we want to do that. We've been working with CTA on that for some
good.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
We're just hoping the funding comes through for that.
Great.
The southwest corner,
as
you know, was the Washington Bank building and has
exactly.
been there for some time.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yes. So mm-hmm. the currently we do have Leon Walker and DL3 and a couple of other partners that have just purchased that building, working with the Community Land Bank, and they have a myriad of plans to do something spectacular with that space. There's also going to be something happening where the Cosmos is, which is the northwest corner. That's currently a Cosmos Beauty Supply store. So there's something
right.
going there as well. So all four corners are going to be activated. But again, I will just want to reiterate, we really taken the time to work with community and ask them what they wanted to see and then try to bring those amenities to the community.
I just think that's great. If there's someone listening who wants to ask a question, you've got some folks there that are going to change everything. The Community Programs Accelerator at the University of Chicago, they're doing a great job. A lot of it I see, obviously. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. It's just great that people are asking, like you mentioned, yoga. That's great. Folks making the request, you know?
People requested. Some of the things we heard was a podiatrist, things that you mm-hmm. need, a dry cleaning.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cleaners. We we've been in conversation. We didn't want to do the typical things that we see typically in our communities, and we've really tried to figure out what's that business that's mm-hmm. been growing, mm-hmm. and really is at the point in their growth where they need a space because they've got the clientele, mm-hmm. they've been generating the revenues, mm-hmm. and now they're going to go to that next step and next level in their growth. And if they're from the neighborhood, they obviously take priority. So we've been working with the MacArthur Foundation through Chicago Trend, which is run by Lanier Richardson, who also has a pot of money that just focuses on black entrepreneurs. And we've been partnering with them to try to get people into those spaces. So we're excited because I don't think people know how things come to be. Mm-hmm. When you're in your neighborhood and you see this building come up, you're like, where'd that building come from? Mm-hmm. So we've been intentional about trying to keep community involved in the process so that they can know how these things come to fruition and be a part of it. So it makes sense.
That's great.
They're excited to see when things come up that they've asked for.
Ryan?
And one thing I think that might be important to highlight for your audience, Cliff, mm-hmm. is I think preservation of affordable housing has a very unique approach. As we know, when people are housing vulnerable, they are often in a position where it's difficult to find employment. And so, Felicia, I think it'd be great if you could talk a little bit about the supportive services that POA provides.
Yes, so that's – thank you, Ryan. We're a development company, and we manage our own property. So we really do try to be intentional about staying in our lane. But what we recognized is that if you are living in a unit, as I mentioned earlier, we really want that unit to be an asset for not only us, mm-hmm. but for the resident that lives in mm-hmm. it. And we recognize that people are oftentimes struggling with things like getting that job or going back to school or just domestic violence. I mean, some really key things. We do have some veterans that live in our property.
Good.
And we support, you know, connect them to supportive services whenever we can and as needed. But our Financial Opportunity Center does a couple of things. We've kind of created this path where people can come in, look for jobs. We don't really do the work of actually finding the jobs because that's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're connected to the people that live in the property. So we help people navigate and get prepared to get that job. And then we partner with people like the YWCA, mm-hmm. The Cook County Workforce Board, who have the jobs. And we just make sure they get that job, they're prepared for that job, and they stay in that job. And then the second thing we do is financial literacy. So we train people in basic budgeting, credit repair. We have a program called the Family Self-Sufficiency Program. We're the first private nonprofit to manage that program in the country. It's a program that will allow people as they get that job. Typically what happens in subsidized housing, if you get a job, your rent goes up. Sometimes people don't want their rent to go up, so they might not continue that job. But this Family Self-Sufficiency Program allows us to help people as they stay in those basic budgeting and career and credit classes. They stay in those classes. They can put that difference in the rent into an escrow account, and they could buy a house, pay off bad debt, go back to school, buy that car they need to get to that job. It's a game-changing program.
What's the name of that program?
It's called the Family Self-Sufficiency Program.
Family Self-Sufficiency
Program. Yes. So, and we had to get HUD approval and authorization to operate that program. We've been operating around 8 sites around the country, and we just added 3 in Chicago for us. So, and we've seen people's credit score go up 59 points.
Mm, awesome. Great.
And just so your audience knows, can you share what cities around the country you're operating in?
Sure. So we're mostly on the Eastern Seaboard, but we've got stuff in Michigan, all in the Midwest, Florida, and any city you can think, any state you could think of in the East Coast, where that's where we are. So my catchment area and my focus is obviously the Midwest, and then I have D.C., and then I have Florida. So
you're busy.
I'm busy. Yeah. We want to replicate the project in Grove Park Plaza in Woodlawn that was once Grove Park Plaza is our first kind of entree into neighborhood revitalization. where we really kind of look just beyond the brick and mortar, and we do a lot of different things for not only the people in our property, but the people in the community. So we've got six more of these around the country. So my job is also to take this and then expand it into our other big sites that are going to be neighborhood revitalization efforts, taking the lessons learned. And this was a heck of a lesson learned in Woodlawn, because
I know
folks didn't necessarily want us to be there when we first started. So
is that right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of pushback.
Why?
What do you think?
Well,
the fear of tearing down the 504 project-based Section 8 units. Where were they going to go?
Oh, okay.
What was going to be with that development? That that gentrification, really, the thing that is scary. And while it's undergirded by the issue of race, it really was a class issue.
Yeah.
And but I think where we are now is our resource center is very much kind of the beacon of activity for everybody. Yeah. So block clubs, homeowner groups, homeowners association.
Where is the resource center?
6144 South Cottage Grove.
People need to know that.
Yes. And we're there every day, and Saturdays the YWCA has their economic empowerment department in our inner space with us. We've offered that space to them, and they host a myriad of programs. And one of their major programs, Cliff, is they do every year a major breakfast for veteran women.
Oh, great.
Major. They give out a lot
of information.
Okay. They give out a lot of resources. They feed them well. Mm-hmm. And they're always overwhelmed because it's so many that they see in the community. And it's just in the community. So so we partner with them. Yeah. So we do a lot of – people oftentimes don't know we're there. But we do a lot of good things for
That's your headquarters, though.
That's our resource center, the Woodlawn Resource Center.
Woodlawn Resource Center. Okay, that's great. I'll tell you one thing that bothers me, and I don't know whether you folks had anything to do with this or not. Forgive me if you did.
Uh-oh.
I've been around since the earth was cooling. You know, I'm not new around here. I'm an ice skater. And I used to skate on the Midway years ago. All they did was flood it. You know, and they come on screen, you know, and they had a warm-up shack there on Woodlawn, you know, on 60th. They had the warm-up shack, and, you know, we would skate, and some of us would play hockey. But then, you know, after a time, you'd go in and warm up. Unfortunately, a little girl came out, because there was no division. Everybody was skating in the same place. A little girl came out and got hit by a puck. Terrible. Thank goodness, you know, the hospital's right there, so she's okay. Right. That was fine. The thing that got me, though, was the fact that what we see there now is just beautiful. You know, the rink, the whole bit.
Oh, yes.
So that's just great. So sometimes I get jealous, I want to tell you. I said, we didn't have that when I was growing up. It's something. Let me say one quick thing, too, that I just think what you folks are doing over there are just great. And whatever we can do, you know, Glenda, of course, and whatever, our executive producer, And whatever you can do to whatever we can do to help each other, that's what we want to do. Absolutely.
Thanks, Glenda.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenda?
Yes, sir. And so we are so happy to say Happy New Year to all. On behalf of America's Heroes Group, please feel free to call 24/7 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wecker Drive, Suite 4250. Please, we are thankful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders. The article on veterans, armed forces, and family members can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the one and only Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, call 773-752-2500. Send an ad to adschicagocrusaders.com. Request a subscription. We are so grateful to our Facebook watching, listening audience, make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will receive and stay connected regarding notifications, future shows, events, information, and resources regarding our veterans, armed forces, family members, and community partners like the University of Chicago, Mr. Ryan. Okay. We are proud to connect Mr. Brian Cody, caller on the line.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good, ma'am. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Happy New Year to you and the Veterans Cafe and Catering located in Maryville, Indiana.
Yes, ma'am. 7805 Taft Street.
Yes, yes, yes. You were so gracious to donate a $100 gift certificate to a winner who entered into the contest. We had over 400 people that entered that contest. And so I watched Manny push the button and randomly select a winner for that gift certificate. And that person is who, Mr. Brian?
That young lady's name is Bridget Latanzine. And I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong. The name is Bridget Latanzine.
Okay, I think you're trying to say Bridget Latanzana, Tazana, Latanzi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yeah, I watched. I was like, okay, how are we going to select this this winner? And so Manny took the laptop, and the people that entered were 400 people. And he pushed the button, and randomly, Mrs. Bridget Latanzana is the winner of the $100 gift certificate on behalf of Veterans Cafe and Catering located in Maryville, Indiana, on behalf of America's Heroes Group. Yay!
Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. And I'd like to say, I'd like to thank everybody that responded to it. And please keep sharing. Keep asking people to like American Heroes Group page.
Oh.
And we'll do this again soon.
Absolutely. Valentine's Day and other things are coming up. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. All right, you guys have an awesome day and a blessed new year.
And
you
thank
too, sweetheart.
You so much.
Personally, right. I want to thank all of our listening audience, especially Mr. Cliff Kelly, who gives his all for this program. All.
Thank you.
Through the good and the bad, he gives it all. Thank you guys for listening to America's Heroes Group. Stay tuned next week. Blessings.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.